Hey folks, my name is Jason Spies and I travel across these great states talking to small business owners, CEOs, policymakers, musicians, and mentors about making money, giving back, and balancing life. I find out how they prioritize professional and personal time while still making money. Yes, indeed, our guests are real heavyweights in understanding business and life. So get ready to relax, learn a little bit, and get a cup of coffee ready because my name is Jason Spies and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio.
Sitting on a million, sitting on it every day. Can't make no money giving your stuff away. Why don't you do now? Like the millionaires do. Put your stuff on the market. You can make a million too.
Welcome to Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Thank you, folks, for pulling up a stool and joining the conversation. Coffee and Capitalism Radio brings you exclusive interviews and distinct content from leaders who drive our economy, from CEOs to small business owners to mentors. Coffee and Capitalism is a leader in innovation, ideas, and inspiration. Coffee and Capitalism is about making money and giving back, learning the fine art of balancing work and family life, all while prioritizing your time. Wow, what a concept, huh, in today's busy world. It's a place where you can learn how to live life and make some money, and like I said, really learn that balance of time, money, and family, right here on Coffee and Capitalism Radio. Let me tell you about who we talk to today, who we bring to you exclusively. Right here on Coffee and Capitalism Radio, the First Lady of North Dakota, Catherine Helgus Burgum. We sit down and talk about her addiction awareness campaign, how it impacts families and employers. The First Lady of North Dakota, Catherine Helgus Burgum, coming up a little bit later on in the program. Plus, Rick Simpson, cannabis activist and researcher. He talks about his path, about resisting the use of cannabis as a medicine. And then, now he's making the oil and, you know, consulting to Israel as well as many other countries and research universities about cannabis. So, interesting Rick Simpson interview coming up just a little bit later on the program. Nick Horob, founder of Harvest Profit, talks about how he took a little startup company into something that is harvesting profit. And Dr. Neil Barnard talks about healthy holiday foods and his book, Power Foods, how people can increase their 2018 diet options. All that plus much more on today's episode of Coffee and Capitalism Radio. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard right here on the Crude Life Media Network. It seems everywhere I go these days, someone is telling me about the success of Hatch Coaching. Listen to what professional speaker Mark J. Lindquist has to say.
To see Eric Hatch grow his business and then start to share it with other people, I think is one of those great steps in life. You know, what do you do in society? You succeed at a thing and then you teach other people how you did it. And now to see Eric duplicating his genius across the country, I'm telling you, there's a world changer down the street, and his name is Eric Hatch.
For more information, call 701-212-1572 or visit coachingwithhatch.com. That's coachingwithhatch.com. Welcome back to Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard of the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Thank you, folks, for pulling up a stool and joining the conversation. Up next, Nick Horob, founder of Harvest Profit.
Harvest Profit. Where are you based out of?
Based out of Fargo, North Dakota.
And what's your background? Harvest Profit, first of all, company, like a 30-second elevator pitch, if you will, the summary. And then what's your background?
Sure. We build a farm management software product that really focuses on the business side of the farm with the goal of allowing farmers to make more objective, numbers-based, profitable decisions over time. I grew up in Western North Dakota, worked for a private equity firm in Minneapolis for my first few years out of college. And then when commodity prices boomed in 2008, started talking to friends and family on the farm and just realized they love to farm, they love to grow crops, but the business side of the farm was oftentimes an afterthought, and so Started out doing consulting for farmers, and that has transitioned and branched off into also offering a software product that complements the consulting work that I've done.
Where are you at? Where are you from in Western North Dakota?
Born in Williston, North Dakota.
That's. Have you been back there lately? I also do an oil and gas program. So, do you got any stories of the oil and gas world? You're primarily ag, I understand that, but given your Williston roots,
there's a lot of a lot of stories, a lot of growth. There's been some ups and downs out there, but anytime you grow a population like that, that's just what you. That's just the nature of the beast. Just have seen some really wild opportunities, and it's been pretty amazing what people I know have been able to build out there on the back of the domestic oil revolution we're in.
And the reason I bring that up, I'm going somewhere with this, is that the oil industry has really taken off out in Western North Dakota. You don't live there now. It sounds like you've been in college, and then so you live in Fargo. How long have you been away from the Bakken, Western North Dakota?
So I left the Bakken, and I left Williston in 2003, so right at its infancy of when it was getting started in Montana. Growing up, all of my friends' parents who lived through the early 80s oil boom steered us away from the oil field, but this hydraulic fracturing led revolution out there has led to a lot of amazing opportunities that if I was a couple years younger would have probably chosen a completely different path and jumped on that bandwagon.
Well, I think you did, and the reason I bring that up is that oil is going through big data right now, and farming is going through big data right now to where it's really taking over the industry to the tune to where CEOs have told me an oil paradigm shift, rewriting our business model because of the innovations of technology. Now, yeah, it's hydraulic fracturing, and yeah, it's tractors that drive by themselves, but it's more the software that is really the innovation side. Talk to me about what your product is doing to the agriculture world.
So actually, we're taking a slightly different approach. We are taking a big data approach and bringing it to the farm, what I call small data. So we're allowing farmers to track their profitability on a field-by-field level, on a crop year basis, and allow them to make those small data decisions on their farm and just bring a modern, intuitive user interface, an easy-to-use software along with that.
A basic question, who's your customer?
So our customer, we have about 160 farms using our software across 29 states and provinces. Average is, from 20 years old to 40 years old. So,
to listen to the full-length interview with Nick Horob, founder of Harvest Profit, or to listen to other Coffee and Capitalism features, visit our website, thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. Coffee and Capitalism is part of the Crude Life Media Network. And we're asking you to like us on Facebook at facebook.com/thecrudelife. facebook.com/thecrudelife. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network.
Well, the fire is slowly dying, but my dear, we're still goodbye. So long as you love me so, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
The holiday music heard on today's program is performed by singer-songwriter Blind Joe. For more information on Blind Joe and how to purchase his music, visit thecrudelife.com and click on the Musicians tab. You'll find all the information and links to Blind Joe there. One more time, this is singer-songwriter Blind Joe with some holiday music.
I'll be warm. Well, the fire is slowly dying, and my dear, still goodbye. As long as you love me so.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet, the Davis Refinery. A project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.
I told you, fireman, astronaut, race car driver, maybe bikini judge. And this is what I get? Food service? Are you kidding me? This is third world! world, and I'm from the first. I'm number one, baby.
I'm amazed that they even hired you.
No one else will do it. They're taking that chance. And then, if something goes down, which it will, I will sue the corporate office so badly.
Well, Santa looked a lot like Daddy. Her daddy looked a lot like him. That's not the way I had him pictured. But Santa was much too thin.
Welcome back to Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Up next, cannabis activist and researcher Rick Simpson.
Your path along the way here. I was introduced to you through, obviously, literature that you were an early adapter of a cannabis oil. You would make your own, or you invented a certain way to make your own oil. Talk about how you initially got so involved with the cannabis industry.
Well, I mean, what had happened with me, you see, I suffered a severe head injury at work in 1997. I worked at a hospital, and it left me with what they call post-concussion syndrome. So they started sending me to all these doctors, and they were putting all these pills in me, which were making me nothing but worse, because it left me with this head ringing 24 hours a day, and sometimes extremely loud. And that drove my blood pressure crazy. I had balance issues from the injury, plus the chemicals that the doctors were feeding me. I was just getting worse and worse. So then in late 1998, about a year after my injury, I was watching an episode of The Nature of Things with Dr. David Suzuki. And this episode was called Reefer Madness 2. But it showed all these people smoking cannabis, and they were getting relief from many serious medical issues. So, I mean, I had smoked cannabis before, but I never looked at it like a medicine. So I went out and I got some cannabis from a friend of mine, and when I tried it, sure enough, it worked better than anything the doctors were giving me. And in Canada, we had the Marijuana Access Program, which is not really nothing but a bad joke. But, you know, the doctors would not give me a prescription so I could use this legally. So I believed in the medical system. So this went on for a couple more years. And then by 1999, the effects of the pills they were feeding me were making me suicidal. You know, I was ready to put an end to my life. So one day I thought, well, if anybody's going to help you, you know, I guess it's going to have to be me. Help yourself. So I got thinking, you know, what would happen if I made the essential oil from the cannabis plant? I mean, smoking the bud was actually giving me more rest. That was the problem with my head. I couldn't sleep. But the smoking, it did have a sedative effect, but it still wasn't giving me the sleep and rest I needed. So I thought, you know, if you strip the trichomes off the good bud, the good indica bud, you know, the sedative varieties, if you strip those trichomes off and, you know, make an essential oil and you ingest it, you know, what would that do? So I went to my doctor's office and I asked him the same question. As opposed to smoking it, what would he think if I ingest or made the essential oil and ingested it? And when I did that or said that or told him, he got the strangest look on his face. But he did admit, he said this would be a more medicinal way to use this substance. So I hate to say it, but I mean, I went home and I did produce the extract. But then I was afraid to use it because all these doctors I had asked for a prescription had been so reluctant, you know, to provide me, you know, with the prescription I needed. I thought that, you know, while they kept saying, you know, it's bad for the lungs, it's still under study, you know, a plant that's been used in medicine for 5,000 years is still under study. What a joke. So I was literally afraid to use it. I knew it would be sedative, but I didn't know what else it would do. And then in late 2001, I was called to the doctor's office, and he just told me point blank. He said, we've tried everything at our disposal. Nothing has helped you. You're on your own. So again, I asked him for a prescription so I could do this legally. No prescription. So having nowhere to turn, I went home and I started ingesting the cannabis, or the extract from the cannabis. You see, when the medical system cut me loose, the effect of these pills, you know, had on my mind, well, it was so bad that I could hardly even remember my own name. This is the effect they have. And a lot of people in my situation actually commit suicide because it seems like you're in a hopeless situation. So I started taking the extract, and I mean, it was just amazing. Like, I was taking it about an hour before I went to bed, and it was just knocking me out. You know, I was increasing the dosage quite rapidly, but I was getting, you know, 8, 10, 12 hours sleep. Well, I hadn't had any proper sleep in 5 years. So the effect was very dramatic. And then, you know, my thinking processes all started to clear up. My body began to detoxify, too. I started losing quite a bit of weight. And that was, I found that kind of shocking. But when I got back to the proper body weight for my height, I just stopped losing weight. And the arthritis in my knees disappeared. It was so many things that it did for me. And, you know, everybody around me seen the improvement. But then it was about a year later, in late 2002, I went to see the doctors about these three lesions I'd had, well, since the 1990s. And, you know, and these lesions wouldn't heal. So I strongly suspected there was some form of skin cancer. So the doctor looked at I had one on the side of my nose, very close to my right eye. I had one on my left cheek, and I had one on my chest. So I went into the medical system, and I mean, the doctor, when he seen it, he said, well, that one close to your eye, that's the one I'm most concerned about because of the proximity to the eye. So they took me in. They said that they would do the other two areas at a later date, but that's the one they were concerned with. So I went in, and they operated. And it was about a week after that operation, I was sitting there, and I had one of those magnified mirrors, and I was looking at the area they had operated on. And, of course, there was some infection there, which is very common in hospitals these days, sadly. And it was right at that very moment that a report I'd heard back around 1975 on our local radio station popped back into my mind. And the report had stated that THC, the active ingredient in marijuana, that's something, actually, we should stop using that ridiculous name. We're talking about the cannabis hemp plant here. But the THC in the cannabis hemp plant had been found to kill cancer cells. But the announcer that I'd heard that day, he was laughing like a fool. So I thought it was just somebody's sick sense of humor at play. But, you know, and by that time, too, I'd been ingesting the extract myself for about a year at that point. And I thought, well, if it was really true the THC killed cancer, then why did I still have cancer? You know, because the extracts that I was producing was full of THC. No, up into the 85-90% range, THC.
To listen to the full-length interview with cannabis researcher Rick Simpson or to listen to other Coffee and Capitalism features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. Coffee and Capitalism is part of the Crude Life Media Network. Check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/thecrudelife. facebook.com/thecrudelife. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network.
I was tucked in bed. They didn't think that I'd come a creeping, or that I'd hear what was said. But Santa put his arms around Mama, and Mama put her arms around him. So if Santa Claus ain't daddy, then I'm gonna tell on them. Yes.
The holiday music heard on today's program is performed by singer-songwriter Blind Joe. For more information on Blind Joe and how to purchase his music, visit thecrudelife.com and click on the Musicians tab. You'll find all the information and links to Blind Joe there. One more time, this is singer-songwriter Blind Joe with some holiday music.
Daddy looked a lot like him. Well, I never saw a dancer or prancer. I never heard the sleigh bells ring. Never saw a red-nosed reindeer like they show on the TV screens.
If you have any Coffee and Capitalism questions for myself or any of our experts, feel free to email me at jason@thecrudelife.com. That's jason@thecrudelife.com. And feel free to like our Facebook page as well. That's facebook.com/thecrudelife. facebook.com/thecrudelife. Like us on Facebook today. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network.
In the lane, snow is glistening, a beautiful sight. We're happy tonight, walking in a winter wonderland. On our way is the bluebird, here to stay is the new bird. He sings a love song as we go along, walking in a winter wonderland. We can build a snowman and pretend that he is Parson Brown. He'll say, are you married? We'll say, no, man. But you can do the job when you're in town. Later on, we'll conspire as we dream by the fire.
The holiday music heard on today's program is performed by singer-songwriter Blind Joe. For more information on Blind Joe and how to purchase his music, visit thecrudelife.com and click on the Musicians tab. You'll find all the information and links to Blind Joe there. One more time, this is singer-songwriter Blind Joe with some holiday music.
In the meadow we can build a snowman and pretend he's bad, bad Leroy Brown. We'll have lots of fun with Mr. Snowman, the baddest snowman in the whole damn town. Yeah. Later on we'll conspire as we dream by the fire, the face unafraid.
It seems everywhere I go these days, someone is telling me about the success of Hatch Coaching. Listen to what professional speaker Mark J. Lindquist has to say.
He is a person in this market and now in markets across the country with Hatch Coaching that is revolutionizing the way people approach the business. He's reinventing the way people look at the people model. That's why he brings in hundreds of people from all over the country who are trying to figure out how to do what he's doing in their market.
For more information, call 701-212-1572 or visit coachingwithhatch.com. That's coachingwithhatch.com.
Since 1979, MBI Energy Services has committed to responsibly growing with today's oil and gas industry by providing proven experience, strategic locations, and integrated services. MBI Energy Services is well established, and its innovation in safety and excellent customer service is what truly makes MBI Energy Services the oil field service professionals. Learn more at MBIEnergyServices.com.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet, the Davis Refinery. A project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.
Congratulations! The bank gave you a credit card. It doesn't make you better than me! But you see, nobody gives me credit because I'm a bad risk and I don't pay my bills on time.
Sleigh bells ring, are you listening? In the lane, snow is glistening. A beautiful sight.
Welcome back to Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Thank you, folks, for pulling up a stool and joining the conversation. Up next, Catherine Helgis Burgum, the First Lady of North Dakota.
I'm great. Yeah, I'm like so grateful, really, to be in this role. And, never thought I'd be First Lady of anything. And, you know, it's crazy. Life just happens, and then one door opens, and before you know it, you know, for me, I'm going down this path that I'm very passionate about. And I'm just grateful for the opportunity to be able to help however I can related to anything addiction.
So one thing that we've said in the past is that politics is really kind of an industry. I mean, you've got guys that have been in office for 30 years. That's longer than some people hold a job. The governor, Burgum, he was kind of new to politics. He kind of came in, so that means you're new to politics. Before we get into this addiction awareness and the campaign and everything, how's the adjustment, the culture shock, just that whole thing?
Right. Well, again, you know, really grateful. I think I like to think of my role and my platform and what we're trying to accomplish here is being non-political. You know, it's clearly a social issue that's affecting so many people. But, you know, in terms of living in Bismarck, you know, I love Bismarck. I've lived in Fargo. It's very flat. You know, I've lived in the central part of the state and the eastern part of the state. And so it's very fun to explore the western part and Bismarck, and everyone's so nice, and so we're just really enjoying every day and really trying to enjoy the journey. It's all an adventure. It's, every day's different.
I know I have a good friend there, Shayna Bank. She's her dad's Mort Bank. They own Space Aliens.
Oh, right.
And a number of other things around Bismarck, but she went to school at NDSU, and her and I used to work out. In fact, we ran the Bismarck Marathon together, and she would always say, Fargo, it's so flat. She loved the hills of Bismarck. And when you're there, you really do appreciate it.
Yeah.
It's such a lovely town and everything. Okay, let's transition here into this addiction awareness campaign. And I was pleased to see this
topic, I guess. You talked about being non-political. I like that. That's one of the reasons we asked you to be on the show. We are non-political. We're a non-political. We're the only non-political program that covers the Bakken and business, as far as on the radio and a few other things. And so, yes, we talk policy, but we don't talk politics. Mm-hmm. This addiction awareness campaign affects all sides of the aisle. It affects those people who aren't on any aisle, which is actually the majority of Americans. Talk to me about this campaign. How, I mean, you've mentioned that you've got a past with it, so obviously I know that ahead of time, but how did this come about?
Well, yeah, it's deeply personal because I've been in recovery, long-term recovery, for 15 years now, and my drug of choice was alcohol. And so it was a natural step for me, especially with the current situation with the opioid crisis, to really move down this path. And people knew me for 15 years and didn't know that I was in recovery because I never talked about it. And I heard this guy speak about a year ago now, about how important it is to talk about the disease of addiction and talk about recovery, because the more we talk about it, the more it will eliminate the shame and stigma around addiction, because it is a disease. You know, it's not a choice. There's a lot of people who say substance use disorder. Everybody has all these terms, but to me, it's like the disease of addiction, there's no choice in that. It affects people without, you know, as you mentioned, you know, it doesn't discriminate. It's a disease that doesn't discriminate. You know, it affects everyone in every socioeconomic class. And multiple, various cultures. So it was easy for me to go down this path. And I've really just been, for the last year now, on a what I would call listening and learning tour, just trying to learn as mm-hmm. much as I can about the disease of addiction, other than my own personal experience, doing that nationally in D.C. and connecting with a lot of different groups and locally, you know, listening to a lot of people that have been affected by the disease of addiction.
Are you finding that people are more accepting to the disease? I mean, we used to joke 10, 20 years ago that, you know, if somebody had lupus, mm-hmm. you would go after, get the medical help and mm-hmm. feel sorry for them, or cancer, alcoholism, or addicted to meth or whatever that is. They were deemed losers, or they were deemed as weak individuals. Mm-hmm. Alcoholism has really, in my opinion, turned the corner, and people are starting to see that as more of, okay, an addiction is an addiction here. It is a disease. Mm-hmm. I think more and more people are seeing that. You're out there on the campaign trail. Are you seeing that every day?
You know, I think it's certainly more accepted as a disease, but, you know, as I post things on my social media, there still are a lot of people out there that say, this is not a disease, it's a choice. Mm-hmm. So we still have work to do. This is a topic I get emotional about a lot, but, you know, there's, I have so many friends, you know, that have died from this disease. And I don't think they made a choice to die, you mm-hmm. know? I mean, it's like, you know, people would not have meth devastate their lives, you know? They would not overdose on opioid. They would not use heroin, you know? If it were a choice, that would not happen. So we've still got work to do, but it really, the more we can eliminate the shame and stigma, the more we can focus on, you know, prevention, we can focus on treatment and recovery, we can just help so many more people if we start really thinking about this as a disease. If we start having the, the healthcare community, we have doctors. You're looking at this opportunity to do a hub and spoke model in North Dakota. It's happening now, which would be like, you know, people at Samford that become very, that develop their expertise around the disease of addiction. Then we have people in smaller communities like Headinger and, you know, smaller communities around our state that are connected to those people. Mm-hmm. In the same way, we have them connected for the disease of cancer or diabetes. You know, in that way, if we're able to get those people, the hub is in Fargo and the spokes are the smaller towns, if we're able to have that connection and then that integrated health care, that would just get us so much further down the path of helping people who need help with the disease of addiction.
To listen to the full-length interview with Catherine Helgus-Burgum or to listen to other Coffee and Capitalism features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. Coffee and Capitalism Radio is part of the Crude Life Media Network. Check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/thecrudelife. facebook.com/thecrudelife. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network.
Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Hey, jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Let's take a ride. Yeah, jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Hey, jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open.
The holiday music heard on today's program is performed by singer-songwriter Blind Joe. For more information on Blind Joe and how to purchase his music, visit thecrudelife.com and click on the Musicians tab. You'll find all the information and links to Blind Joe there. One more time, this is singer-songwriter Blind Joe with some holiday music.
Let it snow, let it snow. Well, it doesn't show signs of stopping, and I brought some corn for popping. Lights are turned way down low. Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. When we finally kiss goodnight, how I'll hate going out of the storm. But if you really hold me tight, all the way home I'll be warm. Well, the fire is...
If you have any Coffee and Capitalism questions for myself or any of our experts, feel free to email me at jason@thecrudelife.com. That's jason@thecrudelife.com. And feel free to like our Facebook page as well. That's facebook.com/thecrudelife. facebook.com/thecrudelife. Like us on Facebook today. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network.
Good night. How I'll hate going out of the storm. But if you
Over the past few months, I've told you about how unbelievable Hatch coaching is. Well, don't just take my word for it. Listen to what Greg Tavine of Emerging Prairies has to say about Hatch coaching.
Yeah, I mean, this guy gets people laughing. He gets people thinking. He's somebody that challenges and inspires. And what I think is so beautiful about Eric is he's real. I think the number one thing that I look for in speakers when we bring them into our platforms is that they're that person 365 days a year. Eric is not just a speaker on a stage. That's who he is at the grocery store. That's who he is when he's at the mall. But Eric is somebody that lives his values each and every day. And I think we can all respect that.
To find out more about Hatch Coaching or to have Eric Hatch speak at your event or company, visit hatchcoaching.com. That's hatchcoaching.com. Or call 701-212-1572. That's 701-212-1572.
Since 1979, MBI Energy Services has committed to responsibly growing with today's oil and gas industry by providing proven experience, strategic locations, and integrated services. MBI Energy Services is well established, and its innovation in safety and excellent customer service is what truly makes MBI Energy Services the oil field service professionals. Learn more at mbienergyservices.com.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet, the Davis Refinery. A project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.
Dashing through the snow in a one-horse open sleigh. O'er the fields we go. Laughing all the way.
Welcome back to Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Up next, Dr. Neil Barnard, doctor, author, clinical researcher, and founding president of the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine.
talk about some different foods that maybe people should be aware of or they should maybe gravitate more towards. And the example I'm thinking of is your book, Power Foods, and sweet potatoes. Like, we all know that during Thanksgiving, sweet potatoes is a staple. Well, here's a reason why we should do that, because, you know, it helps with your a memory type thing. So do you have some foods in mind, like for holiday season, to kind of stay away from and to go near towards?
Well, I'm glad that you asked that, because what you said at the very beginning of the interview was really true. This is the time of year when people gain weight. You know, when the days get shorter, when it gets a little cooler, when it gets a little darker, people are kind of like squirrels. They're just, you know, stuffing their cheeks with food, and they're overeating. And all of the weight that the American population gains is between about August and December 31st at midnight, which is when they make their New Year's resolution to slim down in the new year. And so in the spring, they start losing weight. But this is the time of year when people are gaining weight. And so here's what that means. If you can prevent your weight gain at this time of year, you got it licked, because this is the time of year when people gain weight. So healthy foods. At your Thanksgiving meal, don't eat the bird. If you're going to eat a turkey, eat a tofurkey or something like that. You don't have to have these at all, but the health food stores and sometimes online, they will sell these vegan turkey substitutes that are good, and they're much, much healthier for you, and they're frankly kinder. If anybody knows how turkeys are raised and killed, it is disgusting. And I have to say, give them a break, but give your coronary arteries and your waistline a break too by not eating them. But what you said earlier is true. When you look at the side items that are served at the Thanksgiving dinner, they're often very healthy. And sweet potatoes in particular are a staple food in Okinawa, which is at the very bottom of Japan. Okinawa is distinct for it's the place where people live longer than anywhere else on Earth. And the dietary staple in Okinawa is not fish and it's not rice, it's sweet potatoes. A little, slightly different variety than we have here, but sweet potatoes are healthy food, and you don't need to gum them up with lots of butter and extra sugar. The sweet potato itself is delicious. You bake it and mash it up. And, in fact, I had sweet potatoes for lunch. I baked the sweet potatoes, then I mashed them up, and then I put some broccoli over the top, and I kind of make almost like a sort of a layered lunch, and it just ends up being absolutely delicious because their natural sweetness comes through. Now, that's not the only orange food. You might have, like, say, butternut squash. Have butternut soup, delicious. Corn and bean casserole can be just really, really great. So some of these are Native American foods, and if we think about Thanksgiving, we think about Native American culture. So corn, beans, squash, these are traditional Native American foods that are as healthy as they are traditional.
To listen to the full-length interview with Dr. Neil Barnard or to listen to other Coffee and Capitalism features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. Be sure to check out our Facebook page and follow it as well. We bring you interviews like this as well as other exclusive content. That's facebook.com/thecrudelife. facebook.com/thecrudelife. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard right here on the Crude Life Media Network.
Famous reindeer of all, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer had a very shiny nose, and if you ever saw it, you would even say it glows. All of the other reindeer used to laugh and call him names. They'd never let poor Rudolph join in any reindeer game. Then one foggy Christmas Eve, Santa came to say, "Rudolph, with your nose so bright, won't you guide my sleigh tonight?" Then all the reindeer loved him as they shouted out with glee, "Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, you'll go down in history."
The holiday music heard on today's program is performed by singer-songwriter Blind Joe. For more information on Blind Joe and how to purchase his music, visit thecrudelife.com and click on the Musicians tab. You'll find all the information and links to Blind Joe there. One more time, this is singer-songwriter Blind Joe with some holiday music.
The fire is so delightful, and since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. Well, it doesn't show signs of stopping, and I brought some corn for popping.
lights are turned way down low. Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. When we finally kiss goodnight, how I'll hate going out of the storm. But if you really hold me tight,
if you have any Coffee and Capitalism questions for myself or any of our experts, feel free to email me at jason@thecrudelife.com. That's jason@thecrudelife.com. And feel free to like our Facebook page as well. That's facebook.com/thecrudelife. facebook.com/thecrudelife. Like us on Facebook today. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network.
Finally kiss goodnight, how I'll hate going out of the storm. But if you really hold me tight, all the way home I'll be warm. Well, the fire is slowly dying, and my dear, we're still goodbye. As long as you love me so, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
Jack, be nimble. Jack, be quick. Jack, who not jump over the candlestick? Why don't you do now? Like the millionaires do. Put your stuff on the market. You can make a million too.
And that concludes this week's episode of Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. For a full list of today's guest and interview, visit our website, thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. We'll be back next week on this radio station at this time. For a full list of our radio affiliates and other media partners, please visit our website, thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies, and from the staff here at Coffee and Capitalism Radio, we're asking you to be happy, make money, and give back. Thanks for joining us this week, folks.
Sign on our front porch saying, hot stuff for sale, why don't you do now? Like the millionaires do. Put your stuff on the market. You can make a million too.
Since 1979, MBI Energy Services has committed to responsibly growing with today's oil and gas industry by providing proven experience, strategic locations, and integrated services. MBI Energy Services is well established, and its innovation in safety and excellent customer service is what truly makes MBI Energy Services the oil field service professionals. Learn more at mbienergyservices.com.
Seems like no matter who I talk to in the world of business these days, people are telling me about the success of Hatch Coaching. Listen to what Jeff Schatz, superintendent of the Fargo Public Schools, has to say about Eric Hatch and Hatch Coaching.
I just thought that his story about how he talks about the struggles that he and his family went through and having children, and how, you know, everybody has a hot mess, and how do you deal with that in life? And I just thought that really resonates well with, you know, folks. And so I thought that would be a great message for everybody to hear. Well, then beyond that, I've also seen Eric do some of the other things that he does with emceeing and leading other types of things that he does. He does coaching, I know, with students where the principals have hired him to come in and do that. So I just extended that opportunity for him to be the MC too. He was very well received.
For more information, call 701-212-1572 or visit coachingwithhatch.com. That's coachingwithhatch.com.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet, the Davis Refinery. A project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.